welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of 2 Kings with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through 2 Kings chapter 17, where we see that the Lord starts a work in our lives, and even when we mess up or don't have faith, He still remains faithful and will complete the work He started in us. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in 2 Kings chapter 17.
So it's fine. We can have these types of videos. We can have this thing going on online, and we feed it. I mean, lust is everywhere. I watch the TV with my kids at night. I got to turn the channel every 3 seconds because of a commercial. Even like innocent shows, got to sneak something in there. Even cartoon shows, like things that should not be taking place, and it's constantly being shoved down our throat. We're such a lustful nation. So what happens? People, we can't handle it. We have a sex drive God designed us with, but any of God's gifts have to be God-governed or they're no good. So the sex drive's got to be God-governed, but we're taking that governor off of our lives and we're feeding this fuel, this fiery passion that apart from God's will is dangerous. And people are going out and having sex with all sorts of people just lavishly as they want to. And so unborn, unwanted babies are being conceived. And so what do? We do exactly what they did. We go from one level of worship to the next level. We put them in the furnace. We insert saline solution to the mother's womb and we burn our babies. There's relevance in this portion of God's word. Today, over 2,000 babies have been aborted in the United States of America and counting. This year alone, we're in March, over 189,000 babies have been aborted. I remember going to the Arlington Cemetery in Virginia when I was in eighth grade at Spencerport on our way to Washington, our class trip. And I remember the monuments and the walls with the names of the fallen war veterans on those walls. Listen, if you took a wall and you built it 10 feet high, 80 miles long, that would be the size that you would need to put all those unborn child's names up and recognized to see the damage that we have done as a nation. 10 feet high, 80 miles long with names, if we were to list them. I hate to preach this sometimes because I know I'm not having a conversation, but rather I'm just up here doing a monologue and I can't talk to you and let you respond back to me. If you've been guilty of this thing, but please just hear me out and then I'll move from this point. If you have contributed to these numbers and you've asked Jesus to forgive you, He forgives you. That's not the point of me bringing this up. It's not the unpardonable sin. It's not the sin that's unforgivable. The only sin that's not forgivable is receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Everything else, He forgives you. The point of the story, though, is this. Jesus loves the little children. And if Israel did these things, and we're doing them worse, I believe, and we are found on what they were founding on, and God held them accountable, you better believe that He will hold us accountable too. And what I want you to see here tonight is the downward progression, the regression is a better way to say it, of just how the sin cycle works. Just a little bit of compromise, the golden calves. Just a little bit of compromise, Baal. Just a little bit of compromise, Asherah. Just a little bit more of compromise, oh no, our other compromise got us into a heap of mess here. Let's take these babies and put them in the furnace. Your sin will always take you farther than you wanted to go. It will always keep you longer than you wanted to stay, and it will always rob from you more than you wanted to pay. You've got no clue what you're messing with when you wrestle with sin. Jesus came to set you free from your greatest foe. Don't go back to it. Don't live a lifestyle of that. You are a child of the living God. You are a son or daughter of the living God. You are better than that. Your life has been bought with a price. The greatest price. These people now are taking their babies, they're putting them in the fire, they're using divination, verse 17. Divination there, seances and contact with the dead. That's what that's describing. I mean, it's taking them further and further. Listen, enchantments, the Septuagint is where we get our word, it's pharmacia, where we get our word pharmaceutical from. It's speaking about drug use. Hallucinogens, that's what it's speaking about, things that mess with the psyche. The buying, the selling, nothing's new under the sun. If it's new, it's not true. If it's true, it's not new. They're altering their state of mind now. Children of the living God, they're altering their state of mind. We don't need our mind altered. We need our mind renewed. We need Jesus to renew our minds. We don't need to put anything into us that alters our state of mind so that he can't get a hold of us properly. He wants to renew us. They're taking hallucinogens. They're selling themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, and they're provoking him to anger. Therefore, verse 18, this is the autopsy of why the nation died. This is it. Here's the conclusion. The Lord was angry with Israel. He removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. Also Judah, they too, they did not keep the commandments of the Lord their God, but they walked in the statutes of Israel, which they made. And 100 years from now, Nebuchadnezzar is going to come in, and they're going to go into captivity. The Lord is going to call Nebuchadnezzar his servant. Wicked man he was. And he rejected all the seed of Israel, verse 20, and he afflicted them, and he delivered them into the hand of the spoilers until he cast them out of his sight. For he rent Israel from the house of David, and he made Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, king. And Jeroboam drave Israel from following the Lord and made them sin a great sin. For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They departed not from them until the Lord, verse 23, removed Israel out of his sight. And as he had said by all of his servants the prophets, so was Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria unto this day, the time of the writer's writing. And verse 24, the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Cutha, from Ava, from Hamath, and from Sepharvaim, and he placed them in the cities of Samaria. This is what they would do. They would depopulate a people they'd taken into captivity. Then they'd repopulate that region with new people so they'd be in culture shock and they would not be tempted to rebel. You'd now be in a foreign land with foreign people mixed with these people. You'd be so overwhelmed by the culture around you, the society around you, and not knowing how to live and adapt their way of living quickly enough to actually rebel. You're just trying to survive. They were genius in that sense. They would lead the people out of their land. They would demoralize them, humiliate them, rob from them that which was most precious to them. Then they'd repopulate that land with other people who had no right to it. So they didn't know where they were. They didn't speak the language. They didn't understand the language, the ways of the people. So there was just this, I'm not going to try to do anything to get out of this. I'm going to just try to get through each day. You understand? It'd be like the Russians coming and taking you there. The Iranians coming, the Koreans coming and taking you to their land, shipping you off to your land. You wouldn't know what's going on. You'd be so paranoid as to the way of life there and just how outnumbered you are that you wouldn't try to rebel against that. Not if you're in your right mind. You would just try to make it from day to day. So this is where the Samaritan people came from. They're a mixed breed. Remember John chapter 4 when Jesus went to the woman at the well and the Samaritan woman there? And there was this, we have no dealings with Jews. Jews have no dealing with us. There was this animosity. They're a mixed breed. Mixed religion. They had all sorts of just pieces of religion that they followed after. So there was this animosity between them and the Jews. The Jews believed that they were created to feel the fires of hell. And this is the origin of them. Just because I know you like to know those things, right? As you're reading through the Word of God, just helps connect dots. So he takes them and he places them, end of verse 24, in the cities of Samaria. We only have a few verses left. Please stay with me here. It says, they possessed Samaria and they dwelt in the cities thereof. And so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord. Didn't fear the Lord. Wherefore the Lord sent lions among them. He knows how to wake people up. He sent lions among them. You know, Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. Whenever I read of lions, I think of the Lord. But I also think of the devil, our adversary, who walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour. Either way, God uses both. And he sends lions in here, which slew some of them. Wherefore they spake to the king of Assyria, saying, the nations which you have removed and placed in the cities of Samaria, verse 26, they do not know the manner of the God of the land. Therefore, he has sent lions among them. And behold, they slay them because they know not the manner of the God of the land. You guys, listen, please. This is a side note, but it's a beautiful note. How amazing is the Lord? He sends in lions. This is, by the way, this is just free information. Whenever a people group get removed from the land, that's what happens. Animals come in and they take over. If the land is left desolate, animals will come in, the wildlife will come in and they'll take over, right? God here has control even over wildlife. He sends these lions in to protect his people's land in the midst of their rebellion. How amazing is that? He protects their land that he had given to them. It's their land. He's going to restore them back to it, of course. We see that today. And he's going to give it back to them. So in the meantime, in order to keep these people from getting too settled down and getting too lofty and there being the chastisement tool of the Lord, he sends lions in and they start eating them. I get so blessed by that verse. Because I just see the sovereignty of God in it. I hope you do too. I know it's so wordy Wednesday nights. I know it's so lengthy and we're moving. But catch these things. I mean, that's what you're here for. Catch these things. I have a responsibility from God. Listen, when I go away, and I try not to go away a lot, but when I do, my main concern is my wife and my children. When my father, my brothers, if they're not with me, the men of the church tell me not to worry. If something breaks at your house, because normally I would fix it. So if you're not here, we'll fix it. Your vehicles, if there's a need, we'll meet that need. That gives me great comfort, knowing that my bride and my children are taken care of in my absence. I've been commissioned by the chief shepherd to take care of his bride. And the greatest way that I can take care of his bride, and I take it awfully seriously, is for me to wash you in the water of God's word. Every verse, every chapter of his holy word. And when there are things for you to take, I seek to give it to you the best that I can so that you can leave here full of his word. I've been entrusted with this great privilege, and I want to make sure that I am faithful to it. So as we move through portions of the Word of God and we see things like this, I want to highlight it for you, the sovereignty of God. Learn, become familiar, appreciate the sovereignty of God. Nothing is by happen chance. Nothing is by coincidence. The Lord is so incredibly good that he even sends lions into the land to eat the enemies of God's people who were in full-blown rebellion. Hey, are you here tonight and you're in full-blown rebellion? I don't want you to minimize it and make light of it and laugh at it. It's not funny. But if you are, I want to encourage you in this. God is still madly in love with you, and he's got your back. And even in the midst of your rebellion and his forced chastisement by you, he's still working all things together for the good. And he's preserving you, and he's completing you. And he's still in the process of finishing the good work that he started in you. Even when you're faithless, he remains faithful. And to me, that's what wins me back time and time again. It's his kindness that leads me to repentance. It's him sending lions in to eat my enemies in the midst of my rebellion that sober me up and make me think, God, you make me feel so dirty in your goodness toward me when I'm least deserving. May his spirit do that with you tonight as we conclude. May his kindness and goodness that abounds in your life, I think even more so sometimes, in those seasons that we are least deserving, woo you and win you back. So they come to the king. We're almost done here. And they tell him of this whole scene here that's taking place, how lions are coming. And it says here, that the king of Assyria, verse 27, commanded, saying, carry thither one of the priests whom you brought forth from thence, and let them go and dwell there, and let him teach them the manner of the God of the land. The Assyrian there had more reverence for the Lord than the people of the Lord, which is why, I mean, even he said, we better get their God back in place. Then one of the priests whom they carried away from Samaria, verse 28, came and dwelt in Bethel, and taught them how they should fear the Lord, how obey every nation, make gods of their own. They put them in the house of the high places with the Samaritans, which had made every nation their cities, wherein they dwelt. And the men of Babylon made Sukkoth-Benath, and the men of Kuth made Nergal, and the men of Hamath made Ashima, and the Avites made Nibhaz and Tirkith and the Sepharvites, and they burnt their children in the fire to this guy and that guy and the gods of that person too. So they feared the Lord, verse 32, and they made unto themselves the lowest of the form of priests of the high places, which sacrificed for them in the house of the high places. They feared the Lord, they served their own gods after the manner of the nations whom they carried from thence. Unto this day, it says, they do after the former manners. They fear not the Lord, neither do they after their statutes or after their ordinances or after the law of the commandment which the Lord commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel. with whom the Lord had made a covenant and charged them, verse 35, saying, you shall not fear other gods, nor bow yourselves to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice them. But the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power and a stretched out arm, him shall you fear, and him shall you worship, and to him shall you do sacrifice. And the statutes and the ordinances and the law and the commandment which he wrote for you, you shall observe to do forevermore, and you shall not fear other gods. Verse 38, the covenant that I have made with you, don't forget it. Neither shall you fear, again the Lord says this to us, other gods. Don't reverence other gods. Don't exalt other gods. There shall be none else beside me. That doesn't mean after me. That means not near me at all. Don't have any other gods, any other master passions in your life. But the Lord your God, verse 39, him you shall fear, and he shall deliver you out of the hand of all of your enemies. However, they did not hearken, but they did after their former manner. So these nations feared the Lord and served their graven images, both their children and their children's children. That's the problem. It's so contagious. We pass our sin on. And they did as their children and their children's children, as did their fathers. So did they until this day. And just what a despicable, terrible end for these people of who should have been the Lord's. A tragedy. A sad ending. A sobering ending. They allow these other things to creep into their lives. Here's what we've got to leave with tonight, because there's so much. Here's what we got to leave with. And the worship team, you guys can come. We've got to leave with this. We were created to worship the Lord. It's very obvious. It's very obvious that you and I were created to worship. And when we cease to worship the Lord, when we cease to constantly, daily, in the present, worship the Lord, we will fill that worship with the worship of something else. So if you say, I'm done with Jesus, I'm done with church, I'm taking a step back, whatever it would be, here's the thing, you're not really taking a step back. You might be taking a step back from your worship of the true and living God, but you will fill it with something else because you were created to do that. You were created to have a master passion. You were created to be governed. You were created for this type of a relationship that comes from walking with Jesus, and if it's not happening, you're going to seek that fulfillment that comes from that elsewhere. So please be on guard of that. Please be careful of that. Dwell with yourself according to knowledge that, Lord, I am so dangerous to myself if left to myself. Don't be deceived by the enemy. The good things that he whispers into your ear. I just need a little bit more sleep in the morning. I can't read my Bible every day. A little less church. I need more of a social life. Don't let him break down those things that God has built up for your well-being. Because all he's going to do is swap them out. All he's going to do is dangle something else in front of your face that is appealing to the flesh that you're going to go after, and all you do is you're not getting a let up. You're just swapping out those great things of God for those temporal things of this world. And it's going to keep you on a chase, and you're going to look like a fool. Just like the children of Israel, they looked like fools. They're completely naked, walking hundreds of miles with string and a fish hook in their nostrils, sometimes their lips. Their eyelids often would be skinned by the Assyrians, probably, you know, weeping and screaming out and just feeble and just skeleton-like looking. Didn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way in our lives. Just allow the Holy Spirit of God to minister that to you, to sink it deep into your heart, and stay in the land that flows with milk and honey. That's what Israel was. It's not a type of heaven. When you hear that, those guys that tell you that, they're wrong. It's not a type of heaven. The promised land is not a type of heaven. It's a type of the Spirit-filled life. Stay in the Spirit-filled life. Walk with Jesus day by day. Be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That's where it's at. the land of milk and honey, stay in the Word of God, stay in prayer with the Lord, stay in fellowship, and don't go back to Egypt. Jesus, it's so much easier for me to preach, for us to talk about. But when we leave here and we check our phones and we go on social media and we turn on our televisions, God, and we see billboards around us and we get caught up in text messages and other things, or we're bombarded, Lord, with that allurement of the things of this life, and we need you, Lord. We need you to feed that will to do of your good pleasure. We don't will it in and of ourselves. We in our natural beings, Lord, don't desire the things that are of you. We are so caught up, God, in the things of this life apart from your Holy Spirit keeping us sober. So, Lord, please do that now. Make us sober. Make us vigilant. Make us awake. Lord, now is high time for us to be alert. Let us walk with you. Let us walk in your truths. Let us believe you at your word. When you tell us that something is bad for us or dangerous for us, God, let us believe you, not try you on it. When you tell us that something is good for us, God, let us walk in it completely. Let there be full obedience walked out in our lives. Keep us, Lord, from allowing little leaven into us. Help us to not ever think that we stand lest we fall. Keep us reliant upon you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your stirring and your direction that you provide to us through your word. We love you, God. Please receive this closing song of praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and worship the Lord.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.